All right. Let's. I'd like for you to please open to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look this morning at some really wonderful, simple truths. But they're good things to think about. We live in a world that throws words and concepts around. In where I work, I hear these things a lot. You know, words like potential. You know, self-made, self-discipline. Success. Why the world will define success. But it'll throw words around like this. And, you know, the world will define you if you let it. See? But that's not what we do. That's not where we're at. The things that the world throws out there, when it's all said and done, they're really not what satisfy the heart of a man. They never are. They never are. And just when you think you've arrived, it'll dangle something else out in front of you. Isn't that something? And we've all seen that to a degree. Really, the only thing that satisfies the true desires of the heart of men is found in Christ. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Because it's Christ that delivers us from the sin and the death. All that that we receive from Adam. Christ and Christ only. Nothing else. Thank you, Richie. That's the right one. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are placed in the greatest organization that's ever been. It's the body of Christ. We have purpose. We play an integral part in that organization. Isn't that something? We have a purpose greater than self. A family, a father, who loves us unconditionally. A perfect brother who's not ashamed to call us his brothers. Isn't that something? All of that when we believed on Jesus Christ. It's really breathtaking. The man, Jesus Christ, identified with us so that we could forever be identified with him. And one thing in looking at some of the things that we're going to look at next weekend, I was again struck by the reminders that God gives us of where we were. See? And really the purpose of that, or one of the purposes of that, is that it engenders thankfulness. And thankfulness is so key to the walk of a saint, to the walk of a believer, you know, to walk in what God has really made available to us in Christ. Thankfulness is just, it's huge. It's huge. Unthankfulness will take you the opposite way. And it'll always land itself. But true thankfulness will land at God. Isn't that something? And I want to look at a couple of those in Ephesians chapter 2. Probably help if I turn there. Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says, "And you, or even you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Every one of us were dead. Every one of us. Among whom? Those children of disobedience. Also, we all had our conversation or our manner of life in times past, in the lusts or the cravings or the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Even as children, really, it's, you understand this as children who were destined for wrath. And if you know anything about the wrath that's being spoken of here, it's not good. It's not good. Because it's referring to a time where God will see to it that perfect justice is carried out. And that's where we were destined. But, verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made to sit together in the heavenlies. In who?
Christ.
In Christ. In Christ. The purpose is that in the ages to come, he might show or exhibit, demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? For by grace are you saved. You know, these are verses worth taking a lot of time just to think about. Really think about them. Make them your own. See? It's so easy, if we allow it, for our minds and our hearts, our focus to get distracted on things in the world. This is where we came from. This is our destiny. We are in Christ. Isn't that something? We are in Christ. Let's go to another one real quick in Ephesians 4, and then we're going to go back to Romans for a few. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk, now we're talking about the walk, not as Gentiles walk, is how it should read, not as Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind. This word vanity is only used two other places, and one of them is in Romans 8, referring to this world, which has been subject to hope. It's been, how's it phrased? Subject to vanity. Isn't that something? Boom. Because of the hope. And it's waiting on who? It's waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, it says in Romans 8. Here is to not walk as Gentiles walk in the uselessness or the vanity of their mind. And here's why. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Ha! You know what that is? You know what the life of God is? That's spirit. That's what that is. We'll see that a little bit more in a minute. Through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness or the hardness of their heart. Isn't that something? This is where we were when we walked according to the course of this world. Something. But then we heard something. Somewhere along the line. I don't even remember. I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know when I didn't. So when I was little, I was a kid, somebody told me about Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And I believe somebody told you about Jesus Christ. Just like that. just like that, from death to life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. We're just going to read a couple verses here. Simple truths, but oh, so important. Romans chapter 5. This is one of those chapters that's really hard to pick a starting point. We're going to pick it up in verse 17. In verse 17, King James reads, "For," it should read, "so, if by one man's offense," this is referring to Adam in the context here, "if by one man's offense, the death," so it should read, "the death reigned or held kingly sway by the one, much more they which receive abundance of the grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, upon all men, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of the one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where the sin abounded, the grace did much more abound. That as the sin hath reigned in the death, even so might the grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Isn't that something? That grace would reign unto eternal life. Now, we're not going to take the time to go through all this, but Romans 6 talks about our being baptized in Christ. It is a beautiful section on the substitution on our behalf, what Jesus Christ did in paying the price, in completely identifying with men, and then dying on our behalf. Isn't that something? In Romans 6, we're going to read verse 11. Well, let's read verse 10. We read this last week. "For in that he died unto the sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, you also yourselves to be, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto the sin, but alive unto God through or in Jesus Christ our Lord." Isn't that something? We're dead to the sin. When we believed on Jesus Christ, we, from that point forward, are identified with Jesus Christ, and never again, ever, 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 can we ever be identified with Adam. Isn't that something? We are in Christ. It cannot be undone. It cannot be. That's why it says here in Romans 6, the old man's dead. It was crucified. You can't resurrect the old man. Can't be done. You can't go back to being dead without spirit. Can't be done. You cannot go back to being subject to the sin and the death. That's an impossibility, because you are in Christ and you cannot undo what God did in Christ. Isn't that simple? So we are forever in Christ. We are forever identified with Christ. Forever and ever. It's one of those things you just sit back. It's incredible. And when that really, really starts to sink into the heart, I'll tell you something, priorities start to change a little bit. They really do. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And I'm just reading a couple verses. I mean, these whole sections are just, they're loaded there. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it simply reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." The rest of that's not in the verse. Isn't that beautiful? There is no condemnation. And the condemnation that it's talking about is that condemnation of Adam. That condemnation that came by way of or as a result of what Adam did. We were all condemned to death. We were dead without the life of God, without spirit. Isn't that something? We were, and I didn't read it, but in Ephesians, it talks about the Gentiles being without God and without hope. Can you imagine? Without God and without hope. We will never again be without God and without hope. Never again. I wanted to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and then, well, we're going to look at a couple things in Corinthians, and then we're going to finish up in Hebrews. But I just wanted to read this verse. Sometimes these are verses, and I sometimes you read these verses, and you're reading it to get somewhere. You ever do that? Yeah, you read those opening verses. I'm on my way here. Sometimes you just take your time, and it's breathtaking. This is one of those. Okay. Verse 1 says, "Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified or set apart in Christ Jesus. Called saints." That's, you know, saints, it's, you could understand that as holy ones. Sanctified or set apart in Christ, called holy ones, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the theirs and ours is a reference to some of the division that was going on in Corinth that never should have been. But you just, there's one of those verses, set apart. You're set apart unto God. You belong to God. You were bought for God by Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Bought and paid for. So you are set apart unto Him. And God, because you believed on Jesus Christ, calls you a holy one. Isn't that something? That's because we're identified with Christ and never identified with Adam. We can't be. Because we had the life of God, born within. Isn't that simple? It's simple. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're just going to read a few select verses. These are great sections of the Word. Oh my. Let's pick this up in verse bit of reading, just to set a little bit of context here. Verse 35. Some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Okay. So this is setting the context for specifically what we're looking at here. And in doing this, he is discussing earthly bodies and heavenly bodies. Okay? Verse 40. There are also celestial or heavenly bodies and bodies terrestrial, earthly bodies. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a what? Spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, or became a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving what?
Spirit.
That's something. Then you go down, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of or from the earth. The second is from heaven. That's how it should read. And that is the one whom we are identified with. Never again identified with Adam. Only ever identified with Jesus Christ. Which is why when he returns, we must be gathered together. It's really the only thing we must do as a born again one. People throw that word around, but the only thing that we must do is be gathered. Isn't that cool? We must put on incorruptibility if we're alive when he comes. See? Or immortality, I'm sorry. There's really no advantage to being alive or asleep. I mean, that sounds a little hard maybe, but it's just the truth. There's no advantage. We're going to be gathered together with our Lord Jesus Christ. See? And all we did was believe on Jesus Christ. That's all we did. Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And I am going to read a section here from the Working Translation. It is quite a bit easier to understand, I think, than reading it in the King Jimmy English. We're going to start in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 2. Well, let's start in 6. Well, let's read 5. Moreover, he did not put, referring to God, the coming world, about which we speak, in subjection to spirit messengers or angels. However, someone testified somewhere, happened to be in Psalm 8, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you visit him? You briefly made him lower than the messengers, spirit messengers or angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. That's how it should read. You put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, in subjecting all things to him, he did not leave anything unsubjected to him. At the present time, however, we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Notwithstanding, we do see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, who was briefly made lower than the angels, spirit messengers, for the suffering of death, so that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. In fact, guiding many sons into glory, it was fitting for him, referring to God, because of whom are all things and by whom are all things, to perfect the leader down the path of their salvation. I think King James says the captain. I kind of like that. But it's the leader down the path of their salvation or deliverance through sufferings. Moreover, both he, Jesus, referring to Jesus Christ, who sanctifies, and they who are sanctified, who's that? You just read it, right. Are all from one. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. This was God's plan. This was God's desire. Jesus Christ did what he did in obeying God on our behalf. And because this was God's plan, Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you and I his brothers. Boom. That's pretty awesome. Verse 12, saying in Psalm 22, I will report your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing hymns to you. Furthermore, I will put my trust in him. And also, from Isaiah, behold, I and the children whom God has given to me. Therefore, since the children share of flesh and blood, he likewise partook of the same, so that through death he might render inactive him who holds the strength of death. That is, the devil. See? That's something. Jesus Christ did that. Jesus Christ defeated God's archenemy, and we are in Christ. And you think about and you read these things and you think about scriptures in Ephesians, for instance, seated with him above principalities, power, might, dominion, and just in case we missed anything, every name that's named. Oh, in this age and in the one to come. We're in him. Only ever identified as in him. So when we hear in manifestations how much God loves us, you know what that means? He loves us. That's what it means. You know? When God says, come to me, you know what that means? Go to him. That's what it means. You're in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Verse 15. Well, I better read 14. Therefore, since the children share the flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same, so that through death he might render inactive him who holds the strength of death, that is the devil, and might release those who throughout all their lifetime were held in bondage by fear of death. That's something. We're released from that. From that bondage, because we have a hope, a sure hope, a steadfast hope. And we've got the absolute proof of that hope by way of that token, that spirit. Verse clearly, he does not take the hand of spirit messengers or angels to deliver them, but he takes the hand of the seed of Abraham. For this reason, it was necessary for him to be made like his brothers in all respects, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest with reference to the plan of God in order to make atonement for the sins of the people. Moreover, by what he suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. Ah! Because he's already been through it all. That's why he's faithful. Isn't that something? Let's close with one more. Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to read it also from the Working Translation. Verse 14. Oh, I'm in 5. That didn't look right. Here we go. Verse 14, Hebrews 4. Therefore, having a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, namely Jesus, the Son of God. What an awesome thing. He is the leader. He's the one that went first. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He's the first fruits from the dead. And the day's coming where we will join him. Let us hold fast the confession, or what is to be confessed. Moreover, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things in the same manner as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Isn't that awesome? Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. See? Isn't that awesome? You know, that's just a smidgen of what we have and who we are. And what we're encouraged to do in God's Word is to identify with our Lord Jesus Christ, because that's who we are. That's what we've been made. In Him. We're in Him. In Christ. Pretty cool. And when you understand that, when it comes to the walk, when it comes to the things that are important, the priorities, see, this understanding starts to rearrange those things. It's pretty cool. You know, and then I begin to see that my Lord, I want to do for Him. Kind of neat. So, in Christ, pretty cool. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, Sandy, you want to close us with a word of prayer?
Yep. Thanks. Father God, we're so thankful that we are made to be a part of the body through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are in Him. We're so thankful for your word and so thankful for all that we have. We're so thankful that we can access to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray for these things in His name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.